price my Savior paid. On the cross he chose to stay, as his precious blood flowed freely to the ground. Then the veil was rent in twain, and by grace a way was made to redeem my soul from the law that had me bound. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Lord, help me find my Gethsemane, and go alone in prayer till the dawn. Centered in thy will, with broken heart, it's then I'll see the dying lost and cry, Lord, send me. Then with love I'll lead that soul up to Calvary's hill. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without and guilty I'll be found. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found.
Look at the book of Genesis. We see the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let's pray together. Lord, help us, I pray, as we look at this scripture together. Help us, Lord, I pray, to understand the magnificent truth, Lord, that you loved us and that you died for us. And Lord, that even when we were sinners, you loved us so. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, if there's an individual that is not a Christian, Lord, they do not have the hope that you offer. Lord, may your spirit work in their lives, and may today be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray you would hide me behind the cross. I pray you'd give me the words to say, bind Satan and his demons. May your word fall on good ground. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to this passage of scripture, we read here of the Lord speaking to humanity that he created a tree and he placed it in the midst of the garden. And God said, of all the trees that are in the garden, you may freely have, you may freely choose, but one tree belongs to me and you are forbidden to touch it, to eat it. Now, this was not a threat. This was a warning. We often tell our children, we say, don't touch the stove. If you touch the stove, you'll get burned. That's not a threat. That's a warning. That's because we love them. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that God created man and God placed man there in a beautiful garden, and he had everything that he needed, a beautiful garden and everything he needed for indescribable happiness and joy and fulfillment. But in order for man to have a free will, man had to have the moral opportunity of a choice. And so God placed a tree, and he planted a tree in the garden, and he called that tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and humanity was absolutely forbidden to eat of it. Now, I want to take some time, and I want to look at this tree, but I also want to look at another tree. And my message this morning is entitled, The Story of Two Trees in a Garden. The Story of Two Trees in a Garden. And I want to look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but I want to look at another tree, the tree of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus gave his life so that we could have eternal life. You see, one is a tree of death. God said, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. But the other tree is a tree of life. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So I want to take some time this morning and look at some contrasts, look at some similarities of these two trees, the story of two trees in a garden. First of all, I want us to think about the placing of these two trees. The placing of these two trees. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 in our text in verse number 8, the Bible says that God placed and God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The Bible teaches us that God placed a garden and God placed man in this beautiful garden, and he put a tree there, verse number 9, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says that God made a garden and God placed a tree. We think of Calvary. Do you know that where Jesus Christ died was also in a garden? Turn with me in our Bible to John chapter 19. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 19 and verse number 41 in our Bibles together. John chapter number 19. If you don't have a Bible, you'll find one in front of you to borrow for this morning. We want you to see from the Bible. We want you to see and to hear the Word of God. John chapter 19 in our Bibles together. John chapter 19, and look at the scripture says in verse number 41. John 19 and verse number 41. The Bible says this, now in the place where he, this Jesus, was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. The Bible says that where the Lord Jesus died, there was a garden. Where Christ, the Son of God, bled and died for our sins, there was a garden. And where the first Adam sinned against God, there was a garden. And where Jesus paid for the sins of man, there was a garden. Now, when I think of this passage of scripture in the book of Genesis, a lot of things come to my mind. But one of the things that I think about is the environment in which Adam and Eve were placed, a wonderful, beautiful garden. They were placed in a beautiful environment. They had everything that they needed for success, and yet Adam died in a beautiful, perfect environment and surrounding. You know, sometimes we get the idea that man's problems are basically sociological, that man's problems stem primarily from his environment. And we are told today that if we simply change man's environment, then then we'll change man's problems. We'll fix all of man's problems. And if we can just get everyone fed, and if we can just get everyone properly clothed, and if we can just educate everyone and culture everyone, then if we can change man's environment, we can change his problems. Now, friend, don't misunderstand me. I think if we can help the environment of our brothers and sisters, if we can feed an individual, if we can help clothe an individual, if we can help someone change their environment, then we should try to do that. But the reality is we can get a man out of the slums, but what about the slums in the man? We can put a man in a new suit, but only Jesus can put a new man in the suit. And if we just go about trying to fix man's environment, then, friend, we have missed the whole thing. Because the reality is that man needs more than just a new environment. And that's what we have in this passage of Scripture. Our world teaches us that man it's like a computer. And that humanity itself is malfunctioning. It's just not programmed right. And so if we can reprogram humanity, then we can fix the problems. We just have to reprogram the computer and everything it will be all right. And therefore, when we look at humanity and we look at the sin in our world, then really the world, people are not to blame for sin. The reality is our world will say that man shouldn't be blamed, they should be pitied, and man is not evil, they're ill, and man is not sinful, they're sick, and man is not wicked, they're just underprivileged. That's what our world teaches. But listen, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. You see, the Bible teaches us that there is something inherently wrong with humanity, and it is called sin. And man needs more than just a new environment, they need a new heart. The reality is that we have come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that here was a tree that was planted in a garden, and here was a man and a woman that were placed in a garden, and they had a perfect environment, and yet they had sinned against God. Not only do I see the placement of these trees, I want us to think about the purpose of these trees. Now, there is great similarities between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and Calvary's tree. Both of these trees have similarities. I want to look at these similarities this morning and notice what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it's placed in a garden, and man is placed in that garden. And God said to Adam and Eve, "Don't touch this tree." Now, I don't know how many trees Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, but I'm sure they had a lot. And they had the ability to enjoy the fruit of all of these trees. And God said, "Wait a minute, this tree is for me. This tree belongs to me. And you are forbidden to take of this tree." You know, we can know good and evil through two thoughts. Number one, through revelation. And the second one is through experimentation. Man wanted to know good and evil in the Garden of Eden by experimentation. God said, "Here is a tree. It's the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of this tree." You know what? That should have been enough. That should have been enough. Just leave it alone. That should have been enough. Don't eat the fruit of this tree. That should have been enough. But there was something about human nature that just wants to investigate, just wants to touch, just wants to see for themselves. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever touched the paint when you see the sign that says wet paint? Nod your head this way. At least you wanted to. And we see that sign, it says wet paint, do not touch wet paint. But there is just something in our heart that we have to know. We just have to investigate. We just have to experience it. We just have to touch it to see if it's wet. And we mar that wall, we mar that object, we mar that chair because we see the sign. We read the sign, do not touch wet paint, but the reality is we don't believe the sign and we don't obey the sign because we just have to see for ourselves. The Bible says that the devil was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so the devil came to Eve and said, Eve, God said that ye shall not eat of the fruit of every tree of the garden. Now, you know God didn't say that. God said you can enjoy all the fruit of the garden, but one tree you cannot have. And Satan said, God said that ye shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden. And the Bible says here that the devil already is beginning to twist the word of God. By the way, that's what the devil does. He twists the word of God. Takes a little bit of truth and mixes a whole bunch of error and mixes it around. And that's what the devil's doing in Eve's life here. And Eve said, well, you know, God said that we should not eat of the fruit of the garden. And Eve said, we can't even touch it. Now, God didn't say that either. God didn't say they couldn't touch it. God said they couldn't eat of it. And then in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, Eve says, well, you know, if we take it, then we touch it, we're going to die. And what does Satan say in Genesis chapter 3? The devil says, ye shall not surely die. You know, for us to understand Genesis chapter 3 and for us to understand what's happening in this passage of Scripture, we have to understand the appeal which was to Eve at this particular time. You see, the appeal was, Eve, you can become your own little God. Eve, you can choose for yourself what is good and what is evil. Yes, Eve, God says do not touch. God says do not eat. But maybe God is wrong. Eve, maybe God is withholding something from you. And the devil is tempting Eve here that maybe you should just taste the fruit. And Eve, if you don't like it, that's okay. You don't have to have any more. But if you like it, you can enjoy the fruit. God, he's withholding something from you. And Eve, you will never know if it is good or if it is evil until you experience it for yourself. Let me tell you something, friend. The devil is still using that subtlety today. He is still playing those same games. And the devil is saying, over here is the word of God, and you can believe God, and you can let God be God, Eve. Or you can experience it for yourself, and you can make up your own mind. You can be your own God. Eve, don't you know that experience is the best teacher? We often say that experience is the best teacher. And I'm sure that that is true for a lot of things in our world. But friend, listen to me. When it comes to sin, experience is the worst teacher. It is a terrible teacher. And those who are in deepest into sin are those who know least about it. There's just something about sin that blinds and short-circuits the mind and the reason. And the Bible says that Eve listened to the devil and she partook and her husband partook. And all of humanity was plunged into sin. And Eve experienced knowledge that no one would ever want to experience. And she knew good by the absence of good. And she knew evil by the presence of evil and the power of evil. And all of this world was plunged into sin. And in Adam, we all die. We are all thieves. We are all sinners. Death-dealing powers, destructive powers. Oh, the sin that's in our world today. It doesn't take long to know our world is filled with sin by just turn on the news and watch it for 5 minutes. Oh, the anguish of sin. Oh, the heartache, the ruin, the moan, the groan, the woe of sin. And all of these things came to pass because Adam had to experience it for himself. He had to know what was right and what was wrong. You know, we are living in a generation today of that experimental attitude. You can't tell me what is right and what is wrong. You can't tell me what I need to do. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to listen to anyone. I will live my own life. I will be my own God. And so what do? They experiment. They taste sin. You know, the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say taste and see that sin is evil, that sin is powerful, that sin is destructive. No, the Bible says flee fornication. Get away from sin as far as you can. And the Bible says that all of humanity is plunged into sin. I read the story of a young lady who had kept herself pure. She was a virgin, and everyone ought to keep themselves a virgin until they're married. Everyone ought to do that. God's word commands that. The Bible says flee fornication. And this young lady, she had kept herself pure, and she was tempted by another young lady to sacrifice that purity. And the other young lady, she was living in this world, and she was her own God. And, you know, there's just something about sin that makes people want to spread it and want other people to join in. There's just something about sin that people become evangelists for sin. You know, that's what Hollywood does every single day. They are evangelists for sin. They want everyone else to join in with their attitude and their sin. And she was trying to coach this young lady to join in her activity. And the other girl, she was pure. She was clean. She had kept herself chaste, and she was saving herself for that man that she was going to marry. But this young girl, she was of the experimental orientation. And so she was trying to coach this other young girl to follow her pathway. And she was saying things like, how do you know it's wrong if you don't try it? Or she was saying, how do you know you won't like it? How do you know you got to try it? You got to join in. And you know what that young lady who was pure said to the other young lady that was trying to promote or evangelize that lifestyle and that sin? She said something important for all of us. She said, let me tell you something. Anytime I wish to become like you, I can. She said, but anytime you would ever again like to be like me, you never can. You see, that's a thought, isn't it? There's just something about sin that tries to pull us in, this attraction of sin that we would try to experiment, that wet paint sign, that do not walk in on the grass, that we just have to touch it, we just have to see, we just have to be our own God. We'll determine what is good and what is evil. God said, don't touch it. Listen, friend, that should be enough. That should be enough. And so the Bible says, and in the garden, God placed a tree, the knowledge of...
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Weak ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith, anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.